following podcast may contain spoilers. At the furthest horizon of film and time, immortals and icons make way for the challenge of the Titans. A battle waged to determine that movie most worthy of singular ascension to the canon of legends. This is that battle. This is Last Movie Standing. Clash of the Champions!
Combat Jones, this is a momentous day in the history of binge movies, both the podcast and the video store.
Yes.
Because we are joined by two illustrious, they're not even really guests, they're more
They're
more video store family. But before I introduce them, we are here with this whole shebang is for, we are here for Last Movie Standing. Every single season we begin with a slate of between 25 and 30 films. And episode by episode, guest by guest, binge by binge, we narrow it down to the best of the very best. And then we come to the end of the season, and the guest list, all of our guest choices, all of the best that the guests have selected, and the short list, all of the best that I've selected, those things go head to head. And I've been promising that we'd have two competitors, and we've been fucked by hashtag film Twitter so many goddamn times. It hasn't happened, but we didn't get fucked today because of the great people who are with us. So this is all leading to the binge lords are going to vote. They're going to get final cut. Mm-hmm. They're going to get to determine which one film will be preserved for all time, even beyond the end times, which is what we're all here for. That is the task the Dark Movie Warlords have given us. The movie that is selected by our binge lords is going to be preserved for all time in the no copyright infringement intended vault. Combat, what is already in the vault as voted by our binge lords?
The first movie to ever be selected for the vault is Halloween, followed by Terminator 2, Judgment Day. Aladdin was the next film selected, followed by the classic Jurassic Park. Last year's Oscar sweeper, Parasite, was the fifth film to get in the vault, followed by the groundbreaking Toy Story. And last season, the movie that got in was Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Pretty good group of films as voted by our binge lords. We should note that Halloween was the 1978 classic and not the confusing 2018 Halloween. We should also say that we put Parasite in our vault and then the world went to hell. Some people blame the Oscars when the real truth was it was us all along.
It was us.
You're welcome, world. You're welcome for your wildfires, your pandemics, and your hostile coups.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
It wouldn't have happened had we not selected for the vault. Yeah, that is, you know, some people have the Midas touch. We've got the coup touch. Anything we touch turns into a coup.
The puku touch. Yeah, and that was the first.
Yeah, that's right.
And that was the first big upset of this entire thing, because that's when Pat upset you, and I was the one who voted for it. So really, every time I win, I lose. Luckily, I've been losing a lot, which means the rest of the world wins.
That's right. 2021 has got to get better. And we're off to a great start so far.
Couldn't be
right,
better.
Everybody? It's wonderful. This is going to be both highly entertaining and very challenging for me, because on one hand, I have my dearest friend in the landscape of podcasting. I've got the Artful Dodger, the Down Under Dirty Chai. I have the Countdown Crocodile Hunter himself, Paul from the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews podcast. He is going to be defending me and my list, the short list. He is my champion. He is my representative right here, right now. I know he's a crocodile hunter, He doesn't just hunt crocodiles. He hunted Crocodile Dundee because he knocked Paul Hogan's dick in the dirt when he jacked him in the jaw all those years ago.
That's right.
We know he can hunt crocs. We know he knows about koalas and kangaroos. But does he know about gators? Because we've got a gator in the house. Will he be able to avert her Jedi mind tricks? She is one with the Force. She is the Lady Wan.
Oh, champion,
it's gonna be, yeah, which is, she's gonna be the champion of the guest list. She's gonna defend the guest list against Paul and his defense of the short list. And this is honestly, this is an amazing crew of people. These are the two best podcasters. They are not just guests. Mm-hmm. They are prospective and future regional managers for the global expansion of binge movies. Paul is our in-house horror aficionado. Paul is our Perth, Greater South Pacific, French Polynesia, Tahiti, Bora Bora. He's going to be all over the place, running from one sexy locale to another with those deep blue eyes of his, opening up video stores in the name of binge movies. He is an apostle of the good news of binge movies. But he's not alone.
No.
Because in an even more treacherous place, in a place filled with poisonous monsters... She is royalty. She is the Duchess of Florida. She is the First Lady of Binge Movies. She is in Florida. She's a gator herself. And there's nothing more dangerous than being in Florida with all the Florida men and all the Florida women and all the Florida everything. She is going to be opening up from one hillbilly town to the next, all throughout the Deep South, all throughout. I mean, I can't wait for Binge Movies Miami. Oh, my yeah. God. Can you imagine? Oh. She is our comedy aficionado, our in-house comedy expert. Both of them great contributing host, not mm-hmm. guest host. Fuck that shit. They're contributing host. Lady Wan, Paul, thank you guys so much for doing this. And folks, I just wanted to say you wanted the best. We've given you the best. These are the two best, all jokes aside, these are two of the best movie podcasters in the business today.
Yeah, not only with their skills, but as people.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the internet.
Very kind.
Yeah.
Too kind. For I'm all blushing.
Behind the scenes, they're actually great people.
Yeah.
They may not appear that way on Twitter if Paul ever was on Twitter anymore. He's off living a real life. He's off opening binge movie stores all over the South Pacific. So
that's right. Binge movie.
Being an apostle. Being an apostle is hard work.
It is.
I keep asking, what's more important, spreading the word on Twitter or actually opening these stores? And you said, open the damn stores. So that's what I'm doing.
I gave you two tasks. Open the stores, and every time you see Paul Hogan, which he's in your grocery store every other week, just knock his dick in the dirt. And every time you see that old son of a bitch, you just knock the shit out of him.
Hold on to your Vegemite.
He fell asleep at the wheel. You fell asleep at the wheel a little bit because he made that really shit... Crocodile Dundee adjacent movie. I laid that at the feet of you. He had that really terrible movie last year or the year before. That's on you, Paul.
Yeah, look, I'll take responsibility for all terrible Australian films if you'll take responsibility for all terrible American films.
I will, because my country didn't produce Night of the Juggers, aka Blood of Heroes.
Salute.
Which is the shittiest movie I've ever seen. All right, folks, do you ever wish that you could control the binge? Do you ever wish you could control what Paul watches, what I watch, what the Lady Wan watches as they come in from the outer reaches of spreading the good news of binge movies? Do you ever wish you could control these people's lives? I know I do. You can now. Just go to bingemovies.podbean.com. Bonzo loves Paul, and you can love him too. Hit the donate button. If you want Paul to watch Amazing Ape, you send us some money and we'll make it happen. For $5, you'll receive a high-quality vinyl waterproof binge movie stickers. I just put some in the mail just this week. Thank you, Binge Lord. For $10, you can select any film we haven't reviewed for a deep dive feature presentation review, aka Amazing Ape. And for $25, you get your choice of any five films for us to rank, which I'm guessing it's going to be the Teen Ape series that maybe we get Lady Wan involved in, or maybe both of them. We can do a binge of the Teen Ape. Teen Ape versus the big titty women or whatever it is on Amazon. For $25, you get your choice of any five Teen Ape films for us to rank. You just go to bingemovies.podbean.com today to control the binge. It's officially time for the pregame. We're going to go over the rules. We're going to start with both of our competitors. It's a football kind of situation, right? Do you want to receive or do you want to defend? We're going to have a coin flip. And in our world, we don't do heads and tails. Nah. We do Dunn and DeLuise. For Kevin Dunn, our patron saint, and Dom DeLuise, our patron saint of comedy and flavor. Dunn is heads, DeLuise is tails, and whoever wins the coin toss will get choice of first pick. And what that really means, Combat Jones, and our competitors here today, is that first pick means you either get to select your A-choice film, the one you think is most likely to win and is most worthy of preservation for all time, or you can, like Ryan Johnson, subvert our expectations, and you can go into an opening argument, which basically, because of the snake draft format we kind of have going on, or snake debate format, it kind of gives you two arguments back-to-back, right, Combat Jones?
That's correct.
How are these rounds going to work? Because we've modified it a little bit from previous Last Movie Standing. So how are the rounds going to work? What's round one? Let's start there.
Yeah, round one, like you said, it's the snake draft. So whoever ends the round begins the round. Round one's going to be the opening argument. It's 2 minutes uninterrupted to make your case for your film. The second round is the rebuttal round, where each contestant will get 90 seconds, again, uninterrupted, to respond to the opening arguments of the competitor. Then this is where we kind of threw in the curveball. Round three is going to be a 90-second cross-examination, where each contestant gets to put their rival's pick under scrutiny in an open discussion format.
That's exactly right.
The last and final round is going to be 1 minute, again, uninterrupted, unlike our actual debates in our country, for each debater to make their closing arguments on why their film is a real choice and the other person has no idea what they're talking about.
So the only time in all of our rounds, round three is where with that minute, 30 seconds each, is when both of you competitors will be able to address each other directly and be able to put each other on the spot. Does that make sense?
It does.
The rest of the time, no crosstalk. You're making a philosophical, impassioned, and a polite argument for your film with facts, figures, but then round three comes and you can just personally insult and denigrate each other
yes.
for the entertainment of many, many people in Denmark and one guy in Arkansas. So, Combat Jones, what's on the short list and the guest list?
Jason, what you chose to be on the short list was Thor Ragnarok, Dread, Tron Legacy, The Full Monty, and Men in Black.
Oh, wait, maybe the most diverse shortlist I've ever had because we had very many shitty movies. So,
no lies.
You know, yeah. All right. What is on the guest list? What movies were chosen and who chose them of all of our illustrious guests?
The first one was Thor Ragnarok, chosen by the Lady Wan.
She sounds smart.
I heard she's a genius. She's a co-champion of the unnamed trivia game. And then the other co-champion chose The Cabin in the Woods, Paul from The Countdown, who's with us as well.
He was setting himself up for future success, and then by random chance, he didn't get to defend the guest list.
Ugh. Sorry. We'll talk about that. The third film was John Carter. That was chosen by Kevin R. Brackett from Real Spoilers. And then we had Erica on the show, and she picked My Best Friend's Wedding, much to my chagrin. And finally, Kat from Things Kat Likes picked Men in Black, just like you did.
This is correct. So, without much further ado, it's time to get to First Cut. All right, we are going to start with the guest list. Lady Wan, let's start with you. Straight off the top, what are the first three films you are eliminating off of the guest list?
Okay, immediately I have to remove My Best Friend's Wedding.
Yes!
Wow. I'm
doing this for you, CJ. Also doing this for good people everywhere. Everyone in this movie is a terrible human being and none of them deserve happiness.
Thank you.
Rupert Everett's not a terrible guy.
He's enabling his friend to try and ruin someone else's life, so he's not great.
No, you're right.
When you put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next movie coming off the list is John Carter.
Yeah, I figured.
Full of good ideas, but just an overwhelming amount of confusing nonsense, and it should have been a TV series.
Yes, amen.
So, yeah, amen.
You know what? They'll try again in, 4 years, probably? They'll circle back. There's no creativity. We're going back to the well. Yep. So,
yeah.
Yeah, we'll see it again. And, okay, third one coming off the list. Uh-oh. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Cabin in the Woods.
No!
I'm really sorry. It is a great movie. It subverts horror tropes while being still completely terrifying, but it's just not the best in this list.
Ooh, I feel like it's a psychological shot.
Oh my God.
I've been fired.
Yeah.
All right. Things are already heating up between our competitors. Paul, if I can keep this shit straight, which I've struggled so far, what are your bottom three? What is coming off the shortlist?
Well, let me begin by saying...
Hang on. Be gentle, brother. Brother me gently. Go ahead.
It's very difficult to do this when the man who's sitting across, who picked all five of these films, is looking on expectantly. The pressure ramps up a great deal. I'll just let all the listeners know, all the binge lords know. That said, so the first one that's going to come off will be a film which I have no time for. I've never liked it. It's a personal thing. I'm sorry, because I know people do love this movie. It's The Full Monty. It can go take a big jump. Not for moi. Okay.
Okay.
Now, at this point, the next easy rejection, if I can put it that way, even though I quite enjoy this film, even though it's visually spectacular, even though it's not bad at all, is Tron Legacy. Yeah. Goodbye.
Okay. All right.
Now, before I get rid of my next pick, I have to point something out here. There is now, statistically speaking, a 66% chance that we have the same film. Actually, no, 33% chance, maybe, that we're going to have the same film, which will end the debate, end the episode very early. We can all go home and have a nice nap/morning meal in my particular case. So I don't know if you factored that in.
That's not the way this works.
No, we did,
Paul.
Because that's what the coin flip is for.
Oh, so you right?
I also asked.
You cannot choose the same movie. One of you will have to pivot to a plan B on the spot.
Well, that's possible because I'm going to halve those chances now because the next film I'm getting rid of is a film which is very worthy, set off its own franchise, but let's face it, it doesn't last. It doesn't stand the test of time as far as I'm concerned. Barry Sonnenfeld is so last millennium. Men in Black, goodbye.
There Holy goes shit! The Men in Black.
Holy shit. What?
This kid did that laser thing and it's gone.
Oh no. Now you've just eliminated Men in Black, which blows my fucking mind.
Oh boy.
And by eliminating Tron Legacy from history, you have now eliminated the Daft Punk soundtrack and ostensibly erased Synthwave from all of history. You've just killed my aesthetic.
Sorry.
There you go.
Holy shit. Well, that's the way the game is played. Oh, okay. Wow. All right, Combat Jones, it's time for the coin flip. Who are we going to let call this? Somebody's got to call heads and somebody's got to call tails. Let them call
ladies
at the same
time. Right?
I can't do it at the same time. Ladies first.
Ladies
All
first.
Right. Lady Juan, do you want done, which is heads?
Call in the air.
Or Paul's favorite, DeLuise, which is tails, because he got a big old back on him.
Yeah.
Dom DeLuise was dragging that wagon, brother.
Yeah, he was.
All right, you got to call it in the air. All right, Combat.
One, two, three.
Done.
DeLuise is the winner.
Oh, Paul!
First time DeLuise done anything for me.
He's come through for you, yeah. Paul. Dom love Paul.
Dom love Paul.
You two are too good at that.
Paul.
Banana.
Psychological torment continues. Right.
You now have a choice between, do you want to have your primo movie choice, or do you want to be able to argue your case for a slightly more extended period of time with, do you want to be able to make your argument first?
I'll make my argument first, and I'll throw it to Lady Wan.
To make choose. The movie choice?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That didn't turn out well last
Paul
time.
Has deferred. Paul has deferred going on offense.
Okay.
He will essentially go on defense. He wants to know what your number one pick is so that he can respond accordingly with his arguments. So that's his advantage now.
Ooh.
And
he gets to close it out.
And he gets to make the final word to our binge lords.
First
so those
word,
are
last
his advantages. Okay. Your advantage, he gets first word, last word, exactly, combat.
He is the alpha and the omega.
He is the alpha and the omega. You get your primo choice, what your A choice, your number one off the guest list. What movie are you going to be defending that you believe is most worthy of preservation for all time, even beyond the end times?
My selection for preservation, for consideration by Film Twitter, it's Men in Black.
Woo!
Wow!
My
chance! Which means you've eliminated what? What's the other one that you've gotten rid of?
Thor Ragnarok.
Wow!
Yeah.
Whew. Coming from Queen Marvel herself.
I know, that was my pick.
Wow.
That's my pick for this list, and I've eliminated my own because I'm putting the good of
that's a team player right
myself.
There.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. All right. So, Paul, that means you're going to get the opening argument. Are you ready?
Well, he has to pick his film.
Combat. Yeah. Well, your film.
Both of his films are still available.
Oh,
yeah, they
shit.
Are.
That's a really good point. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What are you going to do?
And in my head, this all played out very differently. I thought for sure, Lady Wan, you were going Thor Ragnarok. And that
me
was
too.
Be perfectly fine for me because here. I didn't... Because I'm not picking Thor Ragnarok. I'm picking Dread 3D.
Oh.
Wow. Right now, it's going to be Dread 3D versus Men in Black, which means you've eliminated... Also, what? Thor Ragnarok?
What are you the god of?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Not it's preservation.
Wow. And
my whole argument was going to rest on, we've already got an MCU film. How many MCU films are going to preserve for all bloody time? It's ridiculous. Come on.
I'm so sick of MCU films.
I am toast. Yes.
Okay,
exactly
all right.
What
so,
I wanted to happen.
Round one will be exactly 2 minutes. Paul will go first. Then when he concludes... We'll have the official timer here with Combat Jones. When he concludes, Lady Wan, you get to make your opening argument. In an opening argument, you're really just stating the case for your film. Okay? Makes sense? Like, why is your movie, independent of anything else, worthy of preservation for all time? All right. Are you folks ready? Paul, you ready?
I am.
Round one.
All right, Combat Jones, let Paul know when the clock has begun. Put 2 minutes on the clock, buddy.
You are starting now.
Well, there's been a very sad dearth of great action films this millennium. You can only point to 3, 4, maybe 5 if you really, really push it. And you go all back to the 1980s, which was, you know, I'm old enough to say that's when I was growing up. And even the 90s and action films were, you know, not a dime a dozen, but there were great ones a lot. In this millennium, we've got like, as I said, 4. And one of those films which has helped redefine, helped keep action alive is Dread 3D. It has... As implied, killer action. It goes for the jugular. And it's actually a faithful adaptation of the comic strip within 2000 AD, which is in and of itself amazing that they could actually port over Carl Urban, who keeps his helmet on the entire time, I might add. And unlike certain Mr. Ego-driven individuals back in the 90s, Sly Stallone, and puts his ego aside to actually give a great performance as someone you believe to be judge, jury, and executioner all up there on screen. He's got his little offsider, Olivia Thirby, I think that's how you say your name. And she's got her own strip as well within 2000 AD, which I only found in my research for this very particular topic. So again, being very faithful. And it's got killer action. I'm not sure I mentioned that, but the killer action is particularly killer. The slow-mo scenes are flat out gorgeous. Like, this is some of the best cinematography for an action film ever put on screen. And it actually, this is why I keep calling it Dread 3D. It is one of the only films which uses the 3D format appropriately. We need to register this particular part of cinema history, 3D films, somewhere in the vault. You know, 10, 15 years of this stuff, some of it was terrible. This in particular was gorgeous and it needs to be seen. It's just a great action film. It knows what it is. It embraces it. It makes no apologies. It's maybe only beaten by one other film that came out this year, which sadly didn't make the list, so we're not talking about it. And did I mention, it's got killer action.
All right.
Well done.
All right, Lady Wan, I want you to go. Are you ready? Combat Jones, is the clock ready?
It's starting now.
Men in Black needs to be preserved for all time through movie history because it is 92% fresh, certified by critics. It grossed almost $600 million. It launched a franchise that, okay, they're not as good as the original, but doesn't that just make you appreciate the original even more? It is the reason for an amazing ride at Universal Studios that I fucking dominate on. Hit me up on that ride. I will beat you every time. I know when to push the red button. It has a soundtrack that went to number one and was there for weeks. It has a killer theme song. It has an amazing score by Danny Elfman. The soundtrack also, back in 1997, featured Destiny's Child and Alicia Keys. In 1997, this movie was trying to take you to good places. It is Will Smith's true peak as an action comedy star, and this is coming from somebody who says that Independence Day is a perfect film. It has an absolutely stellar movie-stealing performance by Vincent D'Onofrio as Edgar. Tommy Lee Jones is perfect in his grumpy dryness. Rip Torn is delightfully zetting it up. You know what? That bug at the end, that shit still looks good. It does. Like, it holds up. It's funny. It's entertaining. It's weird. It sticks to its own mythology and it's got killer branding. The synergy of the 90s. There were Oakley sunglasses that I got as a kid because I needed to be like the Men in Black. I forfeit the rest of my time.
Wow.
See what I like there, Jason, is she brought in the zeitgeist of what Men in Black was all about, because it's not just the film, it's what it meant for our culture, what it meant for other films, how it changed things moving forward. So I liked how she brought that in there.
Yeah, that was very, very good. She obviously was feeling very high on herself and knew that she did a good job because she forfeited the rest of her time with nearly 30 seconds on the clock.
Yeah.
To Paul's point, and I might just say this because he's working off of my list, but I think Paul did a good job showing us why, hey, it's 3D. We went through this ridiculous era of post-conversion 3D,
yeah.
But here's a movie that actually integrated it in a logical way into the story and is probably the best example of it. And I thought that was a great point because when we're talking about The Vault, that's part of what we're talking about. We're talking about it's something that represents not just itself and the quality inherent to it as a movie, but something that represents film history, the canon of film history. So hell of a job by both of these folks.
Yeah.
Both of our regional managers did a hell of a job. It's time for rebuttals now.
Round two.
This is where they get to kind of answer against some of the arguments that were made in the opening argument. So who gets to go first, Combat Jones?
Lady One, your time starts now.
Dread is not a bad movie, but it does not deserve to be preserved for all time. It is basically, while tonally very different from the original, it's a remake. So already you've got to question the ability of like that movie on its own. Doesn't truly stand apart from its stylistic take. It's a 3D movie. Did I watch it in 3D? No, because I live at home like a normal person. Also, I have astigmatism, so 3D glasses don't really work for me. So I don't watch movies in 3D. So I'm throwing out the gimmick of 3D. I can't. That doesn't make it enough to say. It's relentlessly violent And in a miserable world where I just don't care about these people getting killed, it is humorless. It wears on the viewer. It is dark and dirty and just really wants to make you feel upset about stuff. And just so we're clear, like, we need to slow down how you're feeling upset about stuff. The 3D gimmick is just so that people can, like, really know what it's like to be near someone while they get eviscerated. Is that cool? Is that what we want from movies? No, that's not what I want from movies. And that's not what you want from movies either. Hashtag film Twitter.
She walked away with 5 seconds still on the clock.
Paul, your rebuttal starts now.
Well, The Lady One has made a very good choice insofar as Men in Black is also a good film. It's a product of its time. If you want a 90s film that really screams 90s, even though it tries to be sci-fi, like, then absolutely go down the road of Men in Black, hashtag film Twitter. But if we're just talking about gross, it made $600 million. Avatar made $2.7 billion. Let's put that in the vault next, shall we? Because gross is all that matters. I don't think it does. I don't think it. You think that either, film Twitter. If a ride is meaningful, and that's lovely that it's got a personal connection to The Lady One. If the ride is what's so meaningful about Men in Black, well, then let's put the ride in the vault. Can we just jettison the film? Because if we're going to go down that road, then what we need to do is we probably need to give Westworld its spot in the vault as well. Because that's not a ride as much as it is a show that's now defunct. But back in the old days, that was a universal thing as well. If the great Will Smith song means it should get added to a vault, well then, where's Wild Wild West? I want my Wild Wild West added as well. So this film is so 90s, Barry Sonnenfeld can't get hired anymore except to direct cat films that star Kevin Spacey in his voice. And if we really, really... this series is so dated. It's so far out of sync now. They talked about amalgamating Men in Black with the 21 Jump Street series. That was a real plan going forward at one particular point in time. Do we now want 21 Jump Street or 23 Jump Men in Black? I don't think so.
Wow.
Holy shit.
He brought the fire.
Wow.
Holy God.
Paul came with fire.
Fire from down under, baby.
Fire from the thunder from down under. He may not like the full money, but he just stripped Barry Sonnenfeld bare ass naked
and spanked him on the ass.
And we just went straight to not the Wild Wild West, but straight to Lady One's childhood. Going straight to your childhood.
Usually it's our job to ruin people's childhood nostalgia, not yours. You are
exactly right. And no, it's so fitting because we have the Lady Wan. It's a Star Wars thing, and Paul just went George Lucas on her ass and ruined her childhood.
That's right.
She exposed something in Dread, which is it just style without substance? We're going to find out next, because now we're going to have some crosstalk. It's time for cross-examinations.
Round three.
Who gets to get in the face of their competitor first, Combat Jones?
Paul.
All right, Paul, this is cross-examination, so you can directly address your competitor, the Lady One.
Lady One, you can respond.
This round is 1 minute, 30 seconds. Put 1 minute and 30 seconds on the clock. Are we ready, Combat Jones?
I'm ready.
All right. Tell Paul when he can go.
Paul, your time starts now.
Okay, Lady One, tell us about Men in Black 2. Or even better. Or not even better, Men in Black
3. I don't have to defend that movie. I am not responsible for Men in Black 2 or Men in Black International. None of those.
Oh, yeah, that one too. Ooh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Men in Black series, as we know, wonderful, wonderful series of films. But you're telling the first film so great.
Yes, the first one.
Tell us a bit more about your musical stylings, your taste in music. So how many of Destiny's Child's greatest hits do you have? Was it Destiny's Child? I can't remember now.
Oh, yeah, Destiny's Child's on there. Oh, I had the writings on the wall, like, immediately. I was a big fan. I didn't like how they kind of did the girls dirty and kicked the two girls out of the group. Mm. But it's not just a great compilation album that's a soundtrack. It's also an amazing score from Danny Elfman. Don't forget about that. Don't sleep on Elfman.
No, that's fair. That's fair. Elfman is very defendable, I will say. The rest of the soundtrack, though, you have me scratching my head there on that one. Will Smith, great. Okay. No, that's a different point. And Barry Sonnenfeld, his career as it's progressed into the 2000s and the like, do you think this is his only good film? Can you name any other good Barry Sonnenfeld? Do we really want to honour the legacy of that man? Sure, Will Smith, sure, Tommy Lee Jones, but Barry Sonnenfeld?
I'll say that I've done some research on another director who was big in the 90s, Kevin Smith, and just because somebody only had one great film doesn't mean we can throw out the rest of their work.
Wow.
Very good.
Very good.
Paul went in and he got served right back. It was, I mean, I don't want to say yeah. She was a hostile witness on the stand, but
she's proven she knew what she was doing on that Men in Black ride. She knew right when to hit that red button.
Mm-hmm. There's a red button. Yeah.
The red button.
Yeah. Speaking Lady Wan knows how to push all the right buttons. All right. Lady Wan.
Have I mentioned it's 30? It's 100 degrees here today, and I'm in a room with no air, no ventilation.
Well, what's the temperature in Florida right now, Lady Wan? 75 Fahrenheit?
It is a brisk 57.
Oh, my God.
I have the space heater on.
That's called 60.
Paul doesn't know Fahrenheit. When he says it's 100 degrees, he really means
sounds like
1,000
about
10 degrees Celsius.
10 degrees Celsius. Yeah.
100 would be about 215, I think. Right around there.
In Celsius?
It's 14.
Yeah, I was talking 100 Fahrenheit.
Yeah, 100 Celsius would be like 200. It's like boiling point, so it's like 213, 214, yeah. Somewhere in there.
Okay. All right. Put an additional 1 minute and 30 seconds in the clock. It is time for the Lady Wan. She's going from hostile witness to prosecutor. Is Paul presumed innocent? We're about to find out. Paul, you're going on the stand. You're Harrison Ford. This is your prosecutor. Combat Jones, tell her when. There's a 1 minute and 30 seconds in the clock, and she's ready to go.
Lady Wan SVU starts now.
Paul, if this movie was not in 3D, would you be choosing it to make the list today?
Yeah, I would of the choices. You have to remember when you start with
yes,
poo,
of course.
You've only got a bit of poo left. So
you had some quality films on your list.
Well, if you like naked men who are in their middle age, well then there's a lot of campsites for you. So I don't think that one counts.
Okay, so besides the 3D, I'm going to call it a gimmick. This is a video game pretending to be a movie. Care to elaborate on your opinion of this video game movie?
I can see your point that it is one long kick-ass action sequence, but that's what it brings. That's its that's its point. You're leaning into it in the way of saying that really what this film does better than just about any film this millennium is its action, and I 100% agree. It's not big on story. Like, it's pretty straightforward and simple. It does have characterization, and there is a bit of growth, at least for the offsider, through the course of the film. Judge Dredd is Judge Dredd, and if he had shown character growth and suddenly was a nice guy in the film, no one would have watched this movie.
That's fair. I do think it does the character well, better than the previous iteration. But the fun thing about video games is that you get to participate in the action. We're watching missions being set up, and we don't get to play in them. How is that a really satisfying movie experience?
So gorgeous and helped by the 3D.
Paul, now here's the thing. If the clock runs out, you know, you get a few seconds to respond to the question. Do you have more there for your response?
I think that part of it is, when you play your own game, you're not really worried about the visuals other than does it look remotely decent, whereas this film, because you are passive, as you say, it being a film, it needs to look spectacular, and this film absolutely does. And I don't think any film, other than being really chaotic and extreme over the top in terms of editing the light, I don't think any film's ever demonstrated the high from your drug use better than this movie with slow-mo and that 3D-ness.
These are two tough-ass competitors.
Yeah, for real.
Biz Lords, I do not envy your choice. Oh, holy shit.
Final round.
It's time for closing arguments. Lady Wan, you're going to have 1 minute to make your closing argument to our jury, to a panel of your peers at hashtag film Twitter. You are going to appeal to our binge lords and why they should choose your film. I'm going to say the film over Paul's choice. Why is your movie worthy of preservation for all time, even beyond the end times? Combat Jones, let her know when there's 1 minute on the clock.
Your closing arguments start now.
Men in Black has to be selected to stay in the vault forever because it is everything that was great about the 90s. Yes, it's a little dated. Yes, there are some references that don't quite work anymore, but it's funny. It's got great action. It's got amazing timing. The relationship between Jay and Kay is funny, but there's emotion to it at the end. You feel for Kay when he just has seen too much. What his line about all those memories that he doesn't want? Oh, like heartbreak at the end of this amazing action comedy buddy film. With a great, once again, great theme song. You cannot ignore the Men in Black theme song. It was the song of a summer. July 1997, take me fucking back. That is where I want to be. And you can't not choose Men in Black. You can't.
Now, because he got first word and he subverted our expectations, he gets last word. 1 minute on the clock, Combat Jones, and tell the down under dirty chai, the Artful Dodger himself, when it's time to give his closing argument.
Paul, your time starts now.
All right, look, there's no doubt that if you want to pick popular film, Men in Black wins. It took $600 million, as Lady Wan has said, versus Dredd's only $41.5 million at the box office. But Dredd is one of those films, it's a cult film. It grew after it went to home video and DVD. It found its audience later. It has become more and more popular over time as people realize its greatness. It is, and it's great action, as we've discussed. It's not the most complicated story. It's not the most amazing character growth, but you get what you pay for, and you get it in spectacular style. The effects of the gunfights and the like, as much as they were grotesque to Lady Wan, for those of us who love action films, they were amazing. They were simply astounding. If you want to give your vote to The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and that's who you want to preserve, well then vote Men in Black. But if you want to honor one of the great writers and great filmmakers of the 21st century, Alex Garland, he's the one who actually directed this film and he wrote the damn thing. Alex Garland deserves his place in the vault.
Paul saved some juice for his last argument.
Yeah,
there's a couple points in there. I'm going to be honest. There was a couple points in there where I was deeply surprised he hadn't made it before. And then he does the move that I would have made, which is he appeals not to pop culture, but he appeals to genre, which is important. We need to have a representation of all genres and exploitation action films, that's a genre that is not yet represented in the vault. Lady Wan, though, she came at it and saying, look, what movie has a bigger cultural impact? This movie that kind of was relying upon 3D that nobody watched, or this movie that dominated the summer of 1997 and was, you know, one of the biggest hits of the decade, hence why we even talked about it. So, you know, that's a tough choice for our binge lords, and I gotta say, you guys both did amazing.
Excellent.
This was, I knew you both were gonna kill it, but you guys superseded my expectations. They got first cut, binge lords. You get final cut. You're the studio here. They're the directors. They're the writers. This movie is not gonna be their choice. The final product is gonna be left to you. You get final cut. We are going to put up a Twitter poll concurrently with this episode. As this episode comes out, if you go to @BingeMovies, you will see a Twitter poll. We'll run it for about a week, and then Combat Jones and I will come back, and we'll have our instant reaction to who won. I think Lady Wan's going to continuously make an appeal to #FilmTwitter, on which she is very popular.
Yep.
And
I'm an influencer.
Listen, she's an #influencer. The exclusive place to vote on which film is worthy of preservation. Are you Team Paul? Are you down with the dirty chai? Or has your mind been tricked by the Jedi of Florida? Royalty herself, the Duchess of Florida, the First Lady of Binge Movies. The exclusive place to vote is on Twitter @BingeMovies. And you got to go there. You got to get on the poll. You got to make your voice heard. democracy may be failing in the world, but it is not failing here at Binge Movies. We are giving it back to you,
that's right,
the people. I don't know who you're going to vote for. This is really tough. I do know that whoever wins, I win, because both those movies were on my list. So even when I lose, I win. This has been a great season for me. but I will say, I want to give these guys an opportunity to tell us where we can find them. I've been on the countdown. You've heard me on there, and maybe the longest episode they ever had. Definitely the longest one movie review they ever had with Palm Springs. Paul is one of my oldest, dearest friends in podcasting. We bust his balls, but he's a great, great guy, and has a great podcast with his lifelong buddy, Wayne. And where can we find you? Our people know you, but just in case somebody's listening for the first time, where can they find you, Paul?
Well, first of all, thank you both, Jason and CJ, for the invitation here today. It was a lot of fun. Thank you, Lady Wan, for a spirited discussion, which, again, was a lot of fun. And, yeah, it's always a pleasure to come on and talk films with you guys. And even when you're saddled with a bunch of films you probably wouldn't pick yourself, you can still find ways to enjoy it. But, yeah, you can just search for the Countdown Movie and TV Reviews. We're pretty much everywhere if you just do that. It's probably the simplest way of doing it. And looking forward to having you back on again in the future, Jason.
Oh, yeah. I will come on and I will be very long-winded and make it very tough for you to edit.
yep.
Drop him a five-star review for the countdown. They are, they're Australian cousins, basically. And also, Paul is working overtime to make Binge Movies a global franchise. So go ahead and support
him. Right.
Lady Wan, you are the first lady of Binge Movies. You're on 10 Billion Podcast, and you have a handful yourself, and you're just a great follow on Twitter for both film and football, which I give no fucks about, but Combat Jones and you are always on there talking about football games, and I have no idea what's happening. Where can people find you, and what do you got going on on hashtag film Twitter?
just go check me out on Twitter. I'm at the Lady Wan. That's WAN. And just go listen to whatever I'm talking about. Just retweet me. Just like make me feel better.
She is on Twitter at the Lady Wan. She's a great follow. She's got some secret stuff in the works. That was her opportunity to plug, but she dodged the plug. I will just say,
because I don't know when I'm going to be done yet.
Follow her on Twitter because she's got some stuff in the works. And if you, let me just put it out there. If you are a fan of a certain hockey jersey wearing director and you want an exclusive podcast retrospectively revisiting him both pre and post near fatal heart attack, she's got something that works for you, so check it out. It's going to be something very new and something very interesting, and not quite sure when it's going to drop yet, but I just did your plug for you, so you're welcome, Lady.
You did. Nice. You did. Just whenever it's out, it will be on my Twitter, and if you want to hear me descend into madness week by week, that'll be the place to do so. It's a tough ride.
I'm really glad that Martin Scorsese is finally getting his due.
Scorsese, Scorsese's career peaked when he wrote that, how many blowjobs, how many dicks is your girlfriend? You don't expect it coming from an octogenarian, but it was there. And of course, I'm referencing Silence, one of his great films.
Don't suck any dicks in the way of the parking lot.
Paul, listen, Paul's a missionary for Binge Movies, and he knows about.
MIB International may have failed, but MB International will not. Or BM.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And if we're talking about Wayne, it's Ass Play International. So there you go.
Oh,
all the asses, man.
Oh, eat all the asses, man. Oh, Lord have mercy. If you haven't heard I think it's fair to say life partner. If you haven't heard his life partner's laugh on the countdown,
you're missing out.
And if you haven't heard the Lady Wan's laugh on the internet, you're missing out. Both of these guys are in our archives. They've been on, they are, all jokes aside, they are not just quote unquote guests. We love all of our guests, but they are members of the Binge family. They are contributing hosts. They are officially, whether they like it or not, they are part of the, the tentacle of the reach of the dark movie overlords, saturating the world with great evil and hot, hot movie takes. So we love these guys, support them, support everything they do. They're all over the internet. They do great stuff. They are legitimately two of the best movie podcasters out there, two of the best people on hashtag film Twitter. Give them a follow and do all that great stuff. And as for us, you can, of course, follow us on at Binge Movies. Like I said, you're going to want to go there because you're going to want to vote.
And you should.
Paul or Lady Juan. My takes are not as good as either one of theirs, but they're up there. They are spicy sometimes. If you want to email the show, you can email us at bingemovies@gmail.com. I think everybody here is on Letterboxd, so go to letterboxd.com/bingemovies. You can go from our profile, and you can find these fine folks. We follow them. Paul watches so many goddamn movies. I don't understand how he has time to eat or breathe.
That's instead of being on Twitter.
Yeah, right. If you find our profile, you can see what we've reviewed in the past. You can see what we'll be reviewing in the future. You can read my written reviews, and you can discover which films our binge lords have previously added to the vault. And when this one gets decided, it'll be added to the vault on letterboxd.com/bingemovies. All of our wonderful binge lords are equal in our eyes, but some, truthfully, are a little bit more equal. The ones who are more equal are the ones who share the show on social media. Leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, share the show on social media, and you can join the best thing going today, the Binge Elite. So hit us up on Twitter at Binge Movies. Let us know that you shared and reviewed the show for a shout-out on future episodes. Just about every week, we will give people shout-outs and join the Binge Elite. Both of our guests have been members of the Binge Elite. Both
That's right.
Just as not just contributing hosts, but also listeners and people who share the show. So we will give you a shout. You will be in league with Paul and the Countdown and the Lady Juan.
That's right.
From the internet. It's amazing.
She is the internet.
She is the fucking internet. She dominates the new media landscape.
Wow. It's just what she does.
All right. It's just what she does. She fucking owns.
There you have it.
Thank you guys, both of you, so much for doing this. It was really fun. It was really amazing. We loved having you on. Binge Lords, like I said, follow these people. Follow Combat Jones. Combat Jones, what's your Twitter handle?
At Combat Jones.
Isn't it at @combat_Jones?
You fucked up. You fucked up.
It is.
Like I said, it's @combat_Jones.
Yeah. Give Combat Jones a follow if you want the hottest Browns takes in all of Believe Land and the world. We, of course, are coming to you from sunny tropical Akron, Ohio. So until next time, binge on.